Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher and so glad that you've joined us again today. I'm here in the studio with pastor and educator Gary Cox. Gary, welcome back.
Hi, good to be here.
And we are going to continue a conversation with our special guest, Rachel Wilson. Good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
And Rachel, you have such a neat background. Frankly, I don't think there are probably a lot of people like you, which is really cool. We get
it's
to talk
good
to
thing
you
too, right?
You know, you are a missionary educator who's most recently been helping homeschool families on the mission field. You're headed now to Ecuador here, involved with more missions and women's ministry, and we'll talk about that in the future. But we were just talking last broadcast about your experience, how you got onto the field, and was really, really great. And I guess just kind of transitioning the conversation today, you know, talk to families who, you know, they have an interest in missions, and maybe they are homeschooling now, and they're kind of like, oh gosh, I don't know if that's something we could, well, we have to give that up to get on the field, or to a, you know, a family who's considering missions and they're like, I don't know structurally what that would look like. What, you know, would our kids be in the local school? They go to international school, boarding school. I know when I was a kid, you know, my basic understanding of the missionaries that we supported was they were either in the local schools or in the country they were ministering to, or they were at boarding school. And I, frankly, I don't remember a lot of families even homeschooling. So talk to some of the folks, you know, what are their options? What are some unique challenges and what are some opportunities for them as they're thinking about being a missionary family and still homeschooling?
Well, I think that to begin off, that in the 18 years I've been on the mission field, education and missions has changed a lot. The options that are out there are even changing. If you are homeschooling and you want to go to the mission field, I think that you can continue with homeschooling and it will be completely fine. And that actually might be a little bit easier in some senses, depending on where you want to go and do ministry. Even in a capital city, there may be an international school setting there, but you may not be able to get in that year or the time that you would be coming to the field. So you might have a wait period. And so if you're homeschooling, you can just continue with the education. And it actually, in many ways, will help with the transition of your family from the States to wherever your field of ministry will become. And yeah, I grew up like you thinking, well, you know, if family goes out to the mission field, it's either, you know, local school or you send your kids far, far away to a boarding school. And maybe every once in a while you heard about some families that did homeschooling through correspondence or something, but the mail system was really behind, or, you know, if there's no internet, forget that. Well, there wasn't internet back then, but as I mentioned, like, the options for schooling now are much greater. Boarding schools, they still exist, but not as much. And you know, your international school settings, again, are mostly in your big cities. But as we start thinking about the unreached people groups, if you want to reach the unreached people groups, a lot of times you're going to have to go to a more remote setting. And your options probably are going to be to homeschool your kids. because a local school setting is not going to prepare your child academically to return stateside or wherever you would like them to go to university. And so homeschooling is going to be probably one of your best options. And again, it's going to help with transition. It's going to help with the family. Like, and as parents, you can read your children the best. You'll see how they can handle transitioning and how they're feeling about living in this new culture and trying to learn this new language. And your kids will probably surpass your language learning, but that's okay. Because you can learn from each other and learn with each other.
Now, when you were working with families there, the age group, were they pretty much all over the map in terms of, elementary age all the way through high school? Or did you have a lot of younger kids? What was that like?
I would say the majority of the families that I was ministering with, they had elementary age with some middle school and a few high school.
Okay. Yeah. What would you say are some of the unique challenges for a homeschool family on the mission field?
Well, I think the number one challenge would probably be that there is not this amazing co-op community like we would have here in America. Some international schools do understand homeschooling and support homeschooling. When I was in Ethiopia, the missionary school that I taught at my first term, again, they had a homeschool program. And so the homeschool families that are on the field can be connected with that homeschool family, which not just connects them with the school as resources, like libraries and books, but also connecting them with other homeschool families. But in my experience, not a lot of schools understand that need to support homeschool families. Mm-hmm. So you don't always have that kind of support. And not a lot of countries will have somebody who was doing like what I was doing as an educational consultant for homeschool families. There are different resources out there. There's like the Anchor Team. They're based out of the UK. There's Share, which is more European. There are different networks that will allow homeschool families to be connected in that sense, and they'll come with and help with assessments and things like that, or if a child may have a learning disability and you want to try to figure out the best way to help them. But I think the best that you can prepare stateside before you go, get your resources, get connections here that you can email, Skype with, if technology allows you to, of course, and then talk to any educators that are on the field, because there's a lot of us out there that have left the education field, but yet we're educators by heart, and so yeah. We're a resource that could be around the corner for you.
Right.
On the other broadcast, you made some mention about the name change for SIM, and now it's just known as SIM.
Yes.
And but one of the major changes, as I understand it, is try to decentralize from being a United States-based mission to really an international-based mission, and there's different SIM headquarters, like yes. You worked out of the one in Ethiopia itself. So let me ask a quick question. Knowing all the different cultures that are coming into it, you mentioned UK, you mentioned mm-hmm. Europe in general. How American is homeschooling versus how missionary, tool is homeschooling from the missionary experience?
Yes. So in my training and in learning more about what homeschooling is, I've gotten to learn that there are some countries that are anti-homeschooling, that it's just illegal to homeschool. And so that is also something to consider if you are a homeschool family and you feel called to a country that is against homeschooling. That may not be the best place for you to go if you want to continue with homeschooling.
Right.
And then there's some homeschooling that, it's a Western mindset, but it is accepted a lot around the world in many places. So it's understanding the country that you're being called to, what's their view on it, does the government allow it? Those are all things to be learning as you're pursuing and researching about potential missions overseas. Did I answer your question?
Sure. So here's something that as I'm imagining, and we've talked about this a little bit too. What do you say to a family who says, "Well, you know, being on the mission field is just full, it's full time. Like how, you know, in maybe the, you know, again, I haven't been in the situation, but I can imagine saying, we've raised all the support we're at, we've mm-hmm. done all this training, and, you know, and then we're going to spend 4 or 5 hours a day doing homeschool with our kids. And it's like, well, wait, we're not here to teach our kids. We're here to minister to the, you know, to the people around us. So did you see missionary families struggle with that at all? Or how did you help them with that?
Yes, I think that can be an idea that we can get in our heads, that ministry is the people that where we are. But something that I always reminded my families of, and specifically my mother's, is family is your number one ministry. Hmm. And I've been reminded of that myself. I'm not married and I don't have children, but God has called me off the mission field to help care for my mom who has cancer. Hmm. And so God had to remind me of family is your number one ministry. And so you can think about it in that sense to say, yes, I can invest half of my day teaching my children because that is my ministry. And in reference to how the Nationals will see it, it's a great testimony of how parents love each other, how they love their children, how to care for their children, the view of education, and the importance of education. So it allows the family to actually do ministry outside the home while they're doing ministry inside the home.
If I might, this is a little bit self-centered, but I got a chance to go to China with my daughter, and we have some missionaries in China that are part of our homeschool program. And so, you know, it was a missionary trip of sorts, but it wasn't, you know, we're not technically missionaries. But so when we were in Beijing, we did a little tour, and we had a paid tour guide who spoke English. And she just kept focusing on myself and my daughter the whole time. There was other English-speaking people. Mm-hmm. They weren't Americans. Yeah. But she just kept focusing on me. So it started to get me a little upset. Like, why is she only focusing on me? So, but at the end of the day, there was a need where we had to kind of step aside together. And as soon as she got me aside, she asked me a question that was so pointed, and it was a way so we felt safe. But she had watched me with my daughter, and the reason she had the spiritual question that she asked was because she saw me having respect, valuing my daughter, and I asked her, you know, what the deal is, and she said, well, in China, girls aren't of any value, and to see you value your daughter. Yeah. You brought her here, you're spending time with her, you know, she's important to you. That speaks huge volumes. And I just want to know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, Paul called it adorning the gospel, you know, with our, you know, our manifestation of how we live. So I'm sorry, that was my story.
That's a beautiful example of it. Yes.
You're confirming it. It's always cool to see how these things tie in. Actually, I was going to ask you too, Gary. You know, we've been involved with obviously homeschooling. You've been involved with homeschooling 35 years now, 35 plus years, and we have missionary families. So this is, you know, it's really fun to talk to Rachel and also kind of see the other side. Like, you know, this is not theoretical. We have families in the field, and Gary, you speak practically too. Just while we're on this topic, what are some of your thoughts? As in terms of being a missionary family, and I'll also say I know a little bit of your heart. You've always had a missions heart, and really wanted to go. So what are some of the things that you would also add to a family considering going on mission? Yeah. As a homeschooling family,
when you sit down and you take Becky's orientation,
and that's Becky Wyand, who's our educational advisors for on staff.
Primary school and elementary. Her first comment is always, what's your philosophy? Mm. And she nails it, because if you don't have a philosophy, yes, you're at risk of this idea coming in and pushing you one way, another idea coming another way and pushing you another way. So having a philosophy that's biblical allows you to have confidence. And listen, educating your own children at home, it's threatening. It's like, I remember the very first day that we were homeschooling, and I had taught school for 10 years, and my kids are at home, and I happen to go to Frederick, and I get behind the school bus, and I freak out. Oh, no, my kids are going to be kept from all this important. You know, it's just, it's so unnerving to not be going, as it were, with the main flow. But the thing that settles things out the most is to recognize the importance of family, as you said, and that's the first ministry, but also then to realize that the contribution that the family makes together is one of the most significant parts of God's intention in terms of what family does and how we get from A to Z. So, yeah, in our mission field, I mean, what's amazing is that when the children get to be with their parents on the field, and most, and all of our situations are obviously with homeschooling, the children are with their parents on the field, in their ministry and participating in it. And it has its ups and downs and give and take, but the hardest part is really knowing, what are you called to? You know, mm-hmm. as I'm listening to you tell your story, you know, it's kind of a special, sweet calling, because you're really called as a support, you know, technician or, what you know, consultant, as you said, to just come alongside and give encouragement. And that's huge. That doesn't mean you didn't, you know, learn the language of the locals and make friends and, you know, reach out as well. But that having encouragement so that we can keep trusting. Mm-hmm. The number one threat to our spiritual life is failing to trust the Lord in the immediate circumstance I'm in. Mm-hmm. So that I doubt and I lose heart and I lose faith and I'll grasp at something alternative, you know, in sort of desperation. And we, you know, we might dress up desperation as, well, we can understand, you know, I realize it was really hard, but really we have a pretty high standard for New Testament living. Whatever's not of faith is sin. Mm-hmm. So we really have to learn how to walk by faith and, you know, having that homeschool process. I remember when my wife and I, you know, I guess you could say made the permanent plunge. Okay, we're going to homeschool. We'd done a couple of years of trial, and we got on our knees and said, Lord, we know that we're not adequate. We're not adequate. But we know you devised the home and man devises education structures. So we want to have faith that you can use our home in ways that we can maybe not perceive. Mm-hmm. But we know we can't do it all. So please provide resources of help. And this is really where it blesses me to see your ministry, your call, your heart. That's how I got excited when I first met you. You know, here's someone with a unique call. I mean, have you met anybody else that's an educational consultant on the mission field?
There are very few of us. Very few.
Well, although it sounds like there may be more who are waiting to be asked.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, I think that's part of my desire with these radio broadcasts, is just to kind of stimulate the possibility of, you know, a vision for how about coming alongside? What would that look like, and how can that help the family, you know, really relax and enjoy their place on the mission field, you know, without over anxiousness.
Can I put a plug in for that?
Sure.
So if there are people out there who are like me, I was tired of being in the classroom, but I know God called me to be an educator, and I know God has called me to be a missionary. Being an educational consultant for homeschool families still allowed me to use my educational experience and knowledge to help support homeschool families, but yet I didn't have all the paperwork of a classroom. And I got to enjoy teaching. And so for me, it was a great transition of just kind of taking it up to the next level. Yeah. Of how am I an educator? You know, now I was in a support role, a sort of a mentoring role in some ways. And so it's great for anybody who's sort of like, oh, I love teaching, but I'm kind of tired of the classroom setting. So what other options are out there for you? Like, they need people like that all over the world to support missionary families.
Right. That is so good. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Rachel Wilson, who's been a missionary, is a missionary, and has been most recently on the field helping homeschooling families. And Rachel, I'll just turn the conversation a little bit. Again, just thinking about, you know, your homeschool family who's considering the mission field. Talk about you know, how things went when you would go to a home, you'd interact with families. What were some practical things that you helped homeschool families overcome challenges? I'm even thinking, you know, because of being a missionary family, I'm sure the idea of having a structured school schedule could be changed dramatically, and that could be a source of frustration for homeschool parents. I mean, that's true even stateside, but I can imagine there may be some even more significant things that would happen. And how would you help parents around that kind of challenge?
Well, there were so many things that I did that were even just logistical things. Like when a family was moving, I would help them set up their homeschool room. When they were moving out of the city and moving out of the country, I helped them pack up their things. Like I became a professional mover. as you know, you sit down at the beginning of the school year, as I would do as an educator, and think like, wow, I have all these subject matters to teach and this amount of time frame, and I know this vacation's coming up and this time. And so just to sit down with the families and say, what are your yearly goals? Or what are your semester goals? You know, just kind of help them map that out. And then as you have multiple children, which most homeschool families do, so how do I meet the needs for the older children and the younger children, or the emerging educating children, you know, who are like two or three that are sitting there watching the older sisters and brothers doing school? Like how do we manage all that? So a lot of it was time management, schedule management. If they had trouble teaching a subject matter, I could give them examples and just different strategies to teach something. Yeah, there's so many things. I think I would just walk alongside them and say, hey, give this a try, or this isn't working, okay, try this. Or, you know, if your kid's melting down because he can't get something, teach him strategies. And I have the benefit that I'm an elementary and a special ed teacher.
Yeah.
So I can walk into a room and I can see the child who's struggling and say, hey, you know, I think your child might need a little bit more of this. Or don't, you know, push them, but don't push them that much, you know. So it was such a gift to be able to give to parents, because when you're in the thick of it, you can want to pull your hair out and you're just right. Like, no, don't. You're like, I'm here for you. I'm here for your kids. And I love you guys. So.
Yeah.
So the Bible tells us that we should make the most of every opportunity. So I'm wondering if you have any little anecdotal stories to tell as we wind down this broadcast of the unique opportunities some of the missionary families had because of their location, the nature of their work, and the nature of some unusual opportunities for learning, education, or you know, courses, however you want to describe it. Have kind of putting you on the spot, but
yeah.
Do you have any illustrations of unique educational outreach out in the way blue yonder?
I don't know, my mind's going to all the different locations I meant to. I think about the one room schoolhouse we had with the cows braying behind us and the chickens coming into the classroom. We would sit down for our morning break and the tribe chief would walk into the parent to the house and just start talking in Aoi, and the mom just started a conversation. I would just be sitting there like, wow, okay. Yeah, I don't see this every day.
You know? Yeah, it's a little different than the phone ring. Phone ring, we're doing school exactly. Right now.
You know, thinking about that, thinking about, you know, the family that would do their English classes out in like a straw tukul and had their kids out there and were helping teach the kids in the community basic English vocabulary. Puppet shows that kids were able to do in schools, local schools. Moms being able to just get out in the community and then going with them on those visits sometimes and seeing that relationship that mom had built. And then because her kids were with her, then the kids were playing together and there's stopping in the nearest coffee house and, you know, seeing how the community had loved that family that had been pouring into them.
So too many to remember.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I should write down
thanks
my
for
memoirs.
Sharing with you. That's great. It's really cool. Yeah.
I still feel like we're getting warmed up. So a good thing we're going to be able to keep you for a couple more conversations, Rachel. We're talking to Rachel Wilson, home missionary supporting homeschool families and We're going to continue the conversation here in the next broadcast. Well, if you'd like to hear our previous conversation with Rachel Wilson, you can do so. You can go to wcfs.edu, go to our resources tab, and you'll find Family by Design. You can click through and find our audio vault with our previous broadcasts. We encourage you to take a listen to those. If you have questions about the program, or actually if you have questions about our own homeschool ministry, Wellspring Christian Family Schools, you can contact us by sending us an email at radio@wcfs.edu. On behalf of everybody here at Family by Design and Wellspring Christian Family Schools, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping you'll join us next week right here as we continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Someday the house will crumble. Time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where will you invest their trust?
But if the riches that you give them is the wisdom of his ways, then the wealth you'll leave your children will last through all their days. 'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. Is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
When Radio Was has returned to Cool 1450, hear the best of old-time comedy and drama on Cool 1450 WTHU and WTHU.org.
Tune in every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. to hear your favorites from the golden age of radio. That's When Radio Was.
So you're all set to head off to work, except you can't find the car keys. Not on the key hook. So you look on the dining room table, the top of your dresser, your nightstand, then the refrigerator, inside the microwave. You scratch your head in confusion and hear a familiar sound.
Really? In my hands the whole time?
Sometimes you don't see what's right in front of you. And that's especially true when it comes to Jesus. The Bible says,
the truth is hidden to unbelievers because the God of this world has blinded their minds.
That's spiritual blindness, and it comes from loving something or someone other than God.
If anyone loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in him.
Loving God, loving Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the key to eternal life. Go to BillyGraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. BillyGraham.org.